I want to say good morning to each one of you. Pray the word of God's going to bless you today. I pray you're looking forward to a great day of worship, a great day of being in God's presence in his house with his people. There's nothing like his word, nothing like the songs. I like the songs that the choir sing, don't you? Nothing like good godly singing when the choir, I'm going to tell you, God is a fan of heavenly singing. Amen. If you don't like singing, you're not going to enjoy heaven because there's going to be a lot of singing there. Amen. And John talked about it in the book of Revelation, of all the majestic choirs he heard, the songs that were sung. I read where God's going to give us a song that the angels cannot sing. You know what that's going to be? It's going to be a redemption song. I like redemption songs. Songs about the blood. Songs about what Christ done. And the angels can't sing that song because God made Christ a little lower than the angels. And he came in the form and the similitude of man. And he took upon him all of our sins that we could be free. And God's going to give us a song to sing that the angels cannot sing. The angels have no redemption, but us, God redeemed. Doesn't that make you feel special in the eyes of the Lord that God sent the best heaven ever had? He didn't send him to save angels. He sent him to save mankind, all mankind. That every man, woman, boy, or girl could be saved, could be free from the burden, the penalty, the guilt of their sin. That's a precious thing. I'm looking today in John 21, if you got your Bible. John 21 is where we're going to begin reading the word. Jesus is about to leave the disciples here. And as he's about to go, he appears. Verse 1 said, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon, Peter, and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Here John's telling us who was there. There were several of the disciples there. And as Jesus, the word said, as Jesus showed himself, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. And so the Lord appeared to his disciples. Remember, he would walk in the room and he never opened the door. He was bodily before the ascension, before the resurrection. But after the resurrection, he was a spirit body, a glorified body. And that's what we're going to be when God redeems us from this mortal body. And so we're going to put on incorruption. And this mortal shall put on immortality. 1 Corinthians 15 said, and then what's going to happen? We're going to have that brand new body that God gave Jesus. Jesus, in his earthly life, was a fleshly body. Sometimes people think, well, he was there in spirit only. No. If you cut him, he'd bleed. If you'd hurt him, what would happen? Tears would flow. And he endured the pain, that awful pain, that we read about and talk about. That bodily death was a real bodily death. When he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's exactly what he meant. The weight of the world, the sin of the world was upon Christ on the cross. And so when God resurrected him, when he raised him from the dead, he gave him a new body. And so here he could do all these. He could walk through doors. He could appear. But yet he was a body. Remember, he told Thomas, while we're talking about Thomas, he told Thomas, he said, Thomas said this, and this is the way many of us are today. I pray to God you're not like this, but sometimes we are in our human weakness. Thomas said, except I stick my finger in his nail prints, and except I thrust my fist in his side. He knew they'd stuck a spear in the side of the Lord Jesus, and from that came forth blood and water. Remember the place? And that's when the Roman soldier said, surely this man is the Son of God. So the blood and the water came forth. It was the last measure to make sure that Christ was dead. And so Thomas knew there was a hole in his side where the spear pierced him. And he said, except I thrust my fist in his side, I will not believe. Except I stick my finger in his nail prints, I won't believe. And so when Jesus came into the room, and Thomas is with him this time, he said, Thomas, He said, stick your finger in my nail prints and thrust your fist in my side and be not faithless, but believing. And so bless God, Jesus said that we're more blessed that believe and have not seen than he that believed because he did see. And so the walk of faith is an honored life today. And if you don't know what it means to walk by faith, I pray before this broadcast is over, you'll know. Let's look on to the Word. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. And they say unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Well, I've seen times like that, haven't you? You spend the money, the time, and the trouble, you go fishing, you didn't catch anything. And so here's what happened to the disciples. The Word said they went, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved, talking about John, when John says that, he's talking about himself. John saith, the disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. And now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land. But as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. Dragging the net, I like this. Not an empty net, a net that's full. A net of fish. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire coals there, and fish lay thereon. I like this. Boy, it's getting better all the time. And bread. And Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, for there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Father, take the reading of the Word of God today and bless it to every heart. In Jesus' name we ask you, amen and amen. Watch it now in this passage, because it's a very similar passage to a place we're going to look at in Luke, the 5th chapter. And so when we toil, as the disciples toiled, now you have to believe that some of these might have had it in their heart, we'll end up being back where we started, fishing for a living. Jesus told them that henceforth ye shall fish, that ye shall catch men. Remember the place? Jesus called them from their nets. He called them unto a life of ministry and said, henceforth ye shall catch men. And so God put them in a different business. Not to fish for fish, but to fish for men. I'm glad we can fish for men and fish, aren't you? But here we find that Jesus was not reprimanding them for being back at their nets. You'll never find that in the Word. He's encouraging them in their Christian walk. And so Jesus understands.